Good afternoon, Seattle, and welcome to the High Tech Radio Network. It's Tech Talk with Craig, right here on AM 1150 KKNW. Welcome to the show. We're in the studio. What a beautiful sunset we had tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Cold. It's cold, though. Man. But I'm happy to be here, and just lots of stuff has been going on in my life. In the 3D printer world, as most of you out there know, I've been diving headfirst into the 3D printer realm, and we had a wonderful event last week. For those of you that couldn't make it, you missed a good one, but we're going to have all the video. We had a videographer there, and all the video will be posted up on all my social media. You'll hear all about it, and now I can officially say that I have been officially inaugurated as the mayor of 3D Hubs for the Seattle market.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It's,
is the governorship coming up soon for you?
Well, actually, I might be looking for a vice mayor to help me with some of these things. I'm a little stretched, but it's okay. We just had a great event. We had Brandon Davis up here visiting from Las Vegas, the CEO of Leapfrog 3D Printers American Division. We had Seth Crofton, digital strategist from 1A Games. I've got a project going on. Actually, I have a Kickstarter program starting up with a buddy of his. I'll be doing some prototype printing for some pods on a really cool new video game that's coming out, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I believe that we have on the air with us right now Alan Gadget Guy from Beantown, Boston. Alan, are you with us?
Yeah, so there's two things. One, you're talking about it being cold there. Do you realize where I am?
Yeah, I guess it is a little cold in Boston right now. Have you seen any snow yet?
Yeah, actually twice since I've been here. And by the way, congratulations on that whole mayor thing. That's two elections I'm happy with.
Oh, very good. Okay, well, I heard that. We have Harmony at the board today. Hi,
yeah.
Harmony.
Hi, how's it going?
It's cool to be on at 5 o'clock and get all these new personalities on the air with us.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm glad to be here helping out.
Well, go Huskers, because as long as the Huskers keep winning. Did they win today?
No, actually, they lost really, like, horribly, but that's okay.
As soon as they got ranked, it was like all my shows are at 5 o'clock, but I kind of like this slot. I want to try to get this slot, and, I mean, I think I pick up a lot of listeners. The Huskies, they're done playing by now, and everybody's in the car. It's a Saturday, but it's still drive time.
Mm-hmm.
But Harmony, it's so cool to have you on the show. This is your first time on Tech Talk with Craig.
It is. I'm excited, though. I'm interested. You sound like you got some cool stuff going on that I'm definitely interested in hearing about.
All
so,
right.
It's
going to be a lot of fun.
This may actually be the first time we've had Harmony on the show.
Oh, yeah. That's Alan. That's Gadget Guy for you right there. Hey, a familiar voice in the studio. Tom Gattuso's with us from Voco. Tom, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. Always fun.
Hey, it's always great to have you here. We're going to talk a little bit about your product a little bit more later and some other high-tech news. But guess what? I got a call about an hour ago from Alan Wallace in Boston. He says, hey, did you hear about that guy, Michael Tatonghi from Microsoft? And he's doing like this highly conductive filament for 3D printing, and you can actually print circuit boards. And I said, no, I should know, but I'm embarrassed that I don't know. So I Googled him, and wow, a Kickstarter page came up, and sure enough, there's a guy in town here who is created a highly conductive filament for your 3D printer. We can actually print electronic devices now. And so I went right onto his LinkedIn and sent him a message. Hey, I know it's like pretty short notice, but how'd you like to be on the radio in about an hour? And guess what, folks? In the studio, sitting to my left, is Michael Tatonghi. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Man, thanks for reaching out. And
hey, it's really cool to have you here. So I think I have everybody introduced. We're going to try to get Brandon on the line. I know he's at SeaTac. He's flying back to Vegas today, and he's probably sitting in a spot where he can't get a phone call, but that's okay. Well, he'll listen to the show on the High Tech Radio Network later on if he can't get on. But we are going to first take a short break so I can pay a couple of bills. When we come back, we're going to get into a conversation with Michael Tatonghi. We're going to learn all about him and what he's doing and why 3D printing is changing the world and why this gentleman here is really going to help make that happen a lot faster than we might think. It's Tech Talk with Craig. We'll be right back.
Coho Computer is a full-service computer and communications center. Conveniently located in downtown Issaquah on Front Street, we offer fast, high-quality turnaround computer service for all PC, Mac, and Android devices. Coho Computer also offers complete consultation and implementation of network services for the home and small and mid-sized businesses, as well as enterprise solutions. No job is too big or too small, so contact us today at 425-654-1239 or visit us online at cohocomputer.com. That's Coho Computer Sales and Service, a proud sponsor of Tech Talk with Craig.
Integrity in business means doing what we say we are going to do and exceeding the expectations of our customers.
Nate Bean of Integrity Automotive Maintenance and Repair.
When you come to us with a problem with your vehicle, we believe that a repair that we perform will be good enough to last a lifetime. And if for some reason it doesn't, bring it back in and we'll repair it at no cost to you. Our lifetime warranty gives you the peace of mind that once we've done a repair on your vehicle, we will stand behind it for as long as you own that car.
Integrity Automotive, standing behind their work and name with a lifetime maintenance warranty, a testimony to their customer-focused service.
I want you to feel that you have found a service center that you can trust, a service center that will care for you and not just your vehicle.
Hundreds trust the livelihood of their vehicles to Integrity Automotive Maintenance and Repair. Just a block from I-90 in Issaquah and well worth the drive.
It's more than a name, it's how we do business. Integrity Automotive Maintenance and Repair.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. It's the High Tech Radio Network. You're listening to Tech Talk with Craig on AM 1150, and we're sitting here with Michael Tatonge. Michael Tatonge is inventor extraordinaire. I want to talk to you a little bit about Michael Tatonge first. And okay. Your roots. I know you're from Seattle.
Born and raised here.
Yeah. You've worked for a couple of hero companies that I know of. One, Microsoft, of course. You've been with and without Microsoft in and out for a long time.
At 92 was my first year.
You're well known at Microsoft and within the realm of Microsoft and here in the land of Microsoft. If you're a lot of people know who you are around here. And then Parallels.
Yep.
I know you were with Parallels. I had a buddy of mine that was actually his son was working down there, and I think you mentioned that you had met him. Tell us a little about what you do now. What are you up to?
So now I'm actually having a lot of fun not making software, but making both nanomaterials and 3D printing materials.
Okay. And that interests me because, of course, as you know, I'm on this 3D printer rant, and what's interesting about your products is that, you know, everybody says, oh, well, what am I going to do with that little plastic widget or something or other? And guess what? I'm holding in my hand, actually right now, a 3D printed flashlight. And you'll see these pictures posted on my Facebook, and I'll tweet some of these out and get it on hightechradio.net. But it's actually a flashlight that's been 3D printed. And the only parts of this flashlight that weren't 3D printed are the bulb and the battery. Is that right?
Absolutely.
So you can actually print circuits.
Yeah, I've got a circuit board actually right here.
Oh, my God.
And
it's a 3D printed circuit board. It's unbelievable. I just, I'm amazed that this technology is here. I'm already amazed. I'm still amazed about 3D printing in general, just what it's going to do for our environment, for our manufacturing processes here in the United States, and getting rid of that injection molding and try to get stuff made over it, you know, prototyping. And Tom, you can tell us a little bit about prototyping.
You're going to drop the cost on that thing significantly. In my past lives, I've spent thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars on prototyping. It's ridiculous how expensive it is. But when you see this, it's amazing. Not only that, then taking out the whole electrical component and then printing it right at the same time, it's pretty awesome.
Well, Tom is Senior Vice President of Marketing for Voco. Voco is a company, they do their streaming music and video, and there's cases involved and prototypes. And I know you've done a lot of spending on injection molding and all that.
We have three or four more products coming up that we could definitely do some stuff with.
Well, Michael, you already know about the benefits of 3D printing, and for you to come forward and say, let's make something that we can actually run a current through is amazing. And what's even more amazing is that you've come across a formula that actually allows you to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about that, and tell us about your Kickstarter program so we can get some people out there to get involved.
Okay. So I actually started this as a project with my son. And in fact, not the 3D printing plastic, but we were working on an electromagnetic rocket. And so we were working on this electromagnetic rocket and for a school project fair. And then it came time to solder. So we got the circuit working. And really, I'm not good at soldering. And I, when I make mistakes, it takes a long time. And that was when I was CTO at Parallels. A lot to do, you know, busy, great company, innovating. And so I thought, okay, we're printing the launch pad. And I'm going to go and I'm going to find that material that will allow me to print the circuits. I just assumed that it was available. So I started searching. I kept searching and I didn't find it. I found people looking for it. And so I decided, you know, how do we get this into the 3D printing industry? And started, you know, first with conductive plastics companies. And then I found myself building a nanomaterials laboratory. And,
and that's all.
That's and then, you know, really figuring out first how to make graphene and nanocomposites and all sorts of things. And then, interesting, I started this journey on my birthday, and the first beautifully printable 3D filament that was conductive enough for circuits, it was not a plan, but I made it on my son's birthday, the one with the with the project at school.
How long did that take from when you kind of started to when you actually had something printed on your...
It was actually about a couple of years, almost a couple of years. And that was, you know, nights and days. I pretty quickly went part-time at my, you know, at my CTO role.
Yep.
And then went full-time at this after that. And it's been a lot of fun, more learning than almost ever in my life, and just been fantastic.
That's unbelievable. You know, we're getting a call in right now from somebody I know you wanted to talk to. I got some. We were trying to get a hold of Brandon, and I think that we have him on the line right now, and we're getting him on the air in just a minute. But
great,
what we have here, folks, is a total miracle, and we've been talking about this stuff for a long time. You know, just you know, we've got these guys, these jewelry makers that are actually printing things out of different metals, and but it's not feasible. It's not.
My ring is 3D printed,
and this is made of what's
That's silver.
Silver, out of silver. It's 3D printed in sterling silver, and that's unbelievable. Is that Brandon we have on the line with us? Oh,
kind
we're
of,
working on getting him of. Live. Okay, very good. But anyway, I'm just intrigued because I can take one of those Leapfrog printers that Brandon has produced, and I can actually produce an object that isn't just a piece of plastic. It's actually a workable, with circuit board, piece of electronics. And so where was that aha moment?
You know, when it really was this idea of taking the launch pad that was... It was a great structure. Actually, the 3D printer was fantastic for solving the problem of how do we make a launch pad that can stand up to the launch and that, you know, looks nice and it's a manufactured piece of something. And to take that to the next level and make it functional. You know, I believe now that 3D printing has brought us actually quite a ways. People can now make things without having to spin up a factory, and they can make products actually with their 3D printer in small run. Prototypes, these kinds of things, great for that. And so the idea is rather than having just inert plastic objects, which, you know, useful for a lot of different things, let's make them functional. And F-electric is this first material, but the actual scientific advance behind it enables us to make a lot of different functional materials. So that's our goal. You know, we're starting with F-electric, most conductive 3D printing filament available. And then from there, we're going to We're looking at a lot of others. So we're, you know, we'd be interested to hear what people want, but we've got plans already.
When do you think F Electric will be available to the public?
We'll make it available right now on the Kickstarter. People can go to the Kickstarter and they can pledge, and we'll make Pillman available to them in the first quarter of next year. So it'll be by then. We'd definitely like to be one of the companies delivering early on our Kickstarter.
Well, I have a feeling that that's going to happen. I really do. It's pretty cool.
Thank you.
We are so excited about that. It's just mind-boggling. I still see 3D printing, like I said, just itself, the technology mind-boggling, but to be able to see that going on right now.
I think the kicker is, how does somebody type in Kickstarter and look for, what are they typing in to look for you?
Actually, the easiest way to find it would be conductive filament.
Okay.
Because that's the title.
Not everybody knows the category, obviously, but.
But that's actually the easiest way on Kickstarter to find it, because the title is World's Most Conductive Filament or something like that. And what I found on Kickstarter, if you go in and you type in our company name, Functionalize, at least a few days ago, it wasn't coming up. Conductive filament was bringing up the page.
Well, good. Well, that's a big community
Thank
out
you.
There.
There is. I think we do have on the air with us now, Brandon. Brandon, are you sitting over there in SeaTac? Can we hear you?
Yeah, I'm sitting here. Correct.
Well, it's I'm sorry you have to do the show from the airport today, but I want to say that it was an honor to have you here all week. We have on the air with us, folks, Brandon Davis. He is the CEO of Leapfrog 3D's 3D Printers America Division. And as a little surprise go-away present for you, Brandon, we have on the air with us right now Michael Tutongi, who has developed a highly conductive filament that is actually working. I have a flashlight right here in front of me. I'm going to shoot you over a couple of pictures of it working. And we have, you guys got to talk. Brandon, Michael.
How's it going, Michael?
Going well. How about you, Brandon?
It's a bigger 3D printing world with people like you in it. So it's really good to see you getting here on the air with Craig.
Thank you. And I'm actually excited about the Leapfrog. I've been looking at it. I don't have one yet, but we should talk and fix that.
You notice he did say yet, Brandon, right? Well, we've already got.
I'm saying the same thing, Brandon.
I know you are. We're gonna get you.
Well, we have an appointment on Tuesday. We're gonna go over some stuff. We're gonna do some a little bit of test printing on the Leapfrog, and we're gonna get one of those in his hands, and we're going to go forward. I got to tell you, Brandon, if you could see this stuff here, you would just be in awe. I know that what you're using, Michael, you're going to like the output from what you get out of the Leapfrog Creator and our upcoming products as well. What he has done here is he's brought with him, Brandon, a circuit board that is actually highly conductive. He brought a flashlight that I actually pushed the button on and it turned on, and it's just unbelievable, and we're so excited about it. So tell us, how long ago did you start that Kickstarter campaign?
Actually, it's only been, it's been about 5 days.
And five days, and you're well over 10% of your goal already.
Yeah, we are. We're definitely over that. It's been about 5 days. Things seem to be moving along. The predictive models are looking pretty good. I think the key is just getting the word out there, because we're getting a lot of good questions and people just have interest. I mean,
well, one of the reasons that this radio host has such interest is, Brandon and I for the last few days have been testing some filaments from other companies out there. There's a gentleman by the name of David Beshin. And David is actually coming up. He came up with a polycarbonate filament. We want to print clear plexiglass. I don't know how clear we're going to be able to get it with the temperatures we're at right now, but we're actually doing some great, great prints already. And what he's doing is he's taking recycled items from the entertainment industry. So it's actually the product line will be called Reshoot, and he gave me the okay to say that on the air.
What part of the entertainment industry materials are you talking about?
Film, okay. Old film, CDs, DVDs, and he's actually able to extract the gold and the silver content from the CDs and DVDs and take the polycarbonate and extrude this great recycled filament. And believe it or not, how about that print we got last night, Brandon?
Fantastic. I mean, the polycarbonate for me is probably, you know, it's got that strength. It's got that clarity. Light passes through it. It was an excellent print. I mean, the Leapfrog really impressed me personally. I mean, of all people to impress, we were able to print a pretty experimental material successfully.
Well, I think that there's a reason things happen, you know. And Alan, you were able to enlighten me on Michael here, and then I'm thinking about this polycarbonate materials that we're able to print with right now, and what a great case that would make. To go around the circuitry that's being printed before our eyes and then be able to see that through that polycarbonate filament, the circuit boards that are actually working and passing electricity through them. And I just think it's a great combination. And I think that also when we're talking about, I've got everybody in here taking pictures. It's so fun.
I think I'm taking a bunch of promo pictures for Mike in front of his flashlight. I think it's
okay.
Awesome.
That's okay.
Yeah, thank you for that.
It's gonna help. It's not gonna hurt your Kickstarter program.
No.
So, but no, I was thinking about a marriage between the new polycarbonates that we're printing now and your circuitry.
That'd
printing on the Leapfrog, and it's just a marriage made in heaven. I think all this stuff happens for a reason, and you came in, Alan. Reminded me of it, and all of a sudden, wow, look what's going on here. And 3 months ago was the first time I saw my first 3D printer, believe it or not.
It only took somebody from Boston to get us connected with
Michael. Go ahead.
Thankfully, the search engines, I'm able to find all sorts of fun stuff.
That's right. And once your products are out there on the market, I know a guy that'll review them for you. Alan happens to be a senior writer for newdomain.net, and he's been out there through with many other publications, and he is a PR guy extraordinaire, and I'm sure that all of us here can benefit by having a guy like you around us, and we can, I'm sure, help you get this Kickstarter program going and make sure that the 3D printer world here, at least as the mayor of 3D Hubs in Seattle, everybody in the Seattle 3D printer world is going to hear about you.
Thank
right
you.
Away.
What's
and
the
it's
tiers?
Happening as we speak.
What are the tiers on Kickstarter, you know, as far as what you can pledge and buy?
So what we're doing, we're offering kind of two categories. One is for people who may be really interested in the fact that now you're going to be able to download and print electronics, you know, starting with basic circuit boards and things like that. But when talented engineers get a hold of this, who knows what they're going to make. And so those kinds of objects, you know, there's the world's first 3D printed flashlight with plastic circuits. We've got a levitator and these, you know, basic kinds of examples that are interesting and historic prints that are available to people who might not have a 3D printer but want to participate, help make this happen. And then we've got, of course, filament. And it turns out people want filament. And that's not a surprise. So we actually added just recently a couple other tiers. We've got the kind of base filament, and that's half a pound for $71. So it's a fairly expensive, but it's actually a lot less than what it would have been had we not come up with some nice invention recently. And then we've got a lower tier that's more of a kit. So, you know, one of the things I want to make sure of is when people get the material that they're going to be successful in printing and making working electronic objects. And so in the kits, what we're trying to do is give people not just design tips and tricks and designs that we've made, but also little extra material that might make it easier for them to put things together. So they get the filament, they get the designs, and then in each of the kits, we've put a little bit of, you know, a conductive epoxy or a conductive paint that will make it easier once someone's done to make their objects permanent, make their circuit boards bound, you know, bonded well to the chips, this kind of thing.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're a little beyond our break time, but we're going to take a real short break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue this conversation with Michael. We're going to talk a little bit about Voco. We're going to talk a little bit more about filaments with Brandon, because Brandon also is bigwig out there in filaments. We're going to talk a little bit about our Max and our Max Pro filaments. When we come back, you're listening to the High Tech Radio Network. It's Tech Talk with Craig on AM 1150 KKNW. We'll be right back.
Having trouble picking up the alternative talk 1150 signal? Well, whether you live in Portugal or Puyallup, Tasmania or Tacoma, India or Issaquah, you can get alternative talk 1150 programming streamed live on your computer via our website, 1150kknw.com. It's true. Just visit 1150kknw.com and click on the Listen Live button. Make sure you have an audio player installed that will play streaming MP3 audio such as Winamp, iTunes, or current versions of Real Player or Windows Player. Visit our website for more details. Remember, that's 1150kknw.com.
Coho Computer is a full-service computer and communications center. Conveniently located in downtown Issaquah on Front Street, we offer fast, high-quality turnaround computer service for all PC, Mac, and Android devices. Coho Computer also offers complete consultation and implementation of network services for the home and small and mid-sized businesses, as well as enterprise solutions. No job is too big or too small, so contact us today at 425-654-1239 or visit us online at cohocomputer.com. That's Coho Computer Sales and Service, a proud sponsor of Tech Talk with Craig.
Everyone has that horror story of a problem that occurred right after their warranty expired. Bring your vehicle to us for a complete inspection before your warranty expires. We'll help you to find a potential issue before it becomes a bigger expense down the road.
Nate Bean of Integrity Automotive Maintenance and Repair. Nate, why such a generous offer?
It's not just about fixing cars. It's about solving problems and building relationships. That's Integrity.
Just a block off I-90 in Issaquah. Integrity Automotive Maintenance and Repair.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the High Tech Radio Network. It's Tech Talk with Craig. I'm Craig Walker, your host. I'm sitting here with Michael Tatonghi. I'm here with Tom Gattuso of Voco. We have Harmony at the board.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Harmony. What do you think of Tech Talk with Craig? Isn't this fun?
I like how you brought things in with you as well. There's like live
to show on
and
radio.
There are pieces. Right. I'm enjoying it. So, yeah, I think it's awesome so far.
On the air, we have at SeaTac Airport a guest of mine for the week. I was so happy that he was here. I wish he would have stayed a little longer, but it's okay. Brandon spent the whole week. He came in for my event that I had Tuesday night at Coho Computer in Issaquah as I had my first 3D Hubs event. The event name was Finding the Right Prototype Printer. And it went extremely well. We got all kinds of email. We've actually sold a couple of printers. By the way, Coho 3D is online, folks. For those of you that have been waiting, we've got our, of course, our Leapfrog line of printers available on the website, as well as Airwolf products. We've got all the Max filaments, the Max Pro filaments, and by the way, all those Max Pro filaments. We're running at the same price as our Max Economy line right now, and we're going to keep that price through Christmas. So those of you in the 3D printer world that are listening, and I know there were a bunch of you there the other day, are ready to jump right in, take a look at those Max Pro filaments at a cost at the economy price. So tell us a little bit about some of our filaments, Brandon, about the Max filaments and why we think that some of those casings around these circuit boards would be such a good idea.
Yeah, well, you know, you're always aiming for a specific finish if you have any kind of specific idea of what you're trying to make. And being able to have a variety of filaments available for you to, you know, at your beck and call to print whenever you want, it's important. You know, if you want to be creative, you know, beyond functional, you want to have that palette to paint from. And the Max line provides so many beautiful colors, colors that you're actually going to be interested in. You know, it's not like a six-color line. You know, you're getting more than double that in color variety. And when you go up to the Max Pro level, you're dealing with colors that have twice the additive, the color additive, what makes the color extra vivid in that Max Pro line. So for your finishing prints, It's really, really, really dynamic line to use. The other thing that you kind of forgot about is the Max Exotic. The Max Exotic line features some of the most, you know, promising materials that are available out there as far as research and development. We haven't turned them into color lines, but they have unique properties, like our metals. We can print bronze and copper. We have the sandstone brick material. Of course, you know, your woods, there's a couple of varieties there. But you definitely, you know, great filament is what makes a printer great. It's not the other way around. Most of the printers out there have the same design. They're not unique. Certain features separate others from other models specifically. But overall, what you really want is a printer that gives you the ability to print to a variety of filaments, like the Leapfrog, for instance. But essentially, you know, don't limit yourself by material is what I'm trying to get to.
I agree. And once we're able to get this filament that's actually a highly conductive material, as Michael, you mentioned, when the engineers get their hands on this, I mean, we may be sitting here in the middle of the land of Microsoft, but I have to tell you, I had an event in Issaquah first week of October called Salmon Days, and I probably had 25 or 30 contracted Boeing engineers came into the shop and watched me do some 3D prints, and their eyes just one of my favorite expressions comes from Tom Gattuso. I blew their hair back.
But Craig, I have to admit, I was really impressed when I heard you were 3D printing salmon.
Funky. I am 3D printing salmon, and next year's giveaway, I'm going. You know, the 3D salmon that the salmon that's on the wall mounted in my store, I'm actually going to do the head and the tail as you see it in the store, but there'll be a little QR code 3D printed into that salmon on one side of the tail for Salmon Days, the other side, of course, for Coho 3D, and then the front, I will have a 3D printed flashlight that somebody can actually push and light something up on the front to advertise something or other, or just... It'll be a great giveaway.
So instead of the singing bass that everybody gets for Christmas, we'll have the singing salmon.
There you go.
Maybe we need to make the tail move.
Oh, there you go.
You're such an ambitious 3D printer, Craig. This is such a great project. I'm glad that we're pursuing it.
Well, believe it or not, I have figured out and successfully printed a QR code on actually a single extruder, and it was pretty cool. The shadows actually are dark enough. If you use a light filament, the shadows are actually dark enough to make the QR code work. So, and I found a QR code generator that helps me generate these prints. So I'm actually 3D printing QR codes as we speak.
What's
the
name of the generator, Craig?
I can't tell you that. I'd have to kill you.
Oh. Well, man, you shouldn't tease us like that. That sounds really cool.
Well, I know a guy down at 75 Front Street South. It's not for publication yet, but when it is, Brandon, and you're going to hear it, but I got to tell it to you off the air. I will tell you about
it. Top secret, ladies and gentlemen, top secret.
It's not that it's top secret, but I haven't been given permission to give it out yet. So, and I have to respect people's IP rights, especially in 3D printing right now. And I've spoken to some pretty uppity IP lawyers that are very familiar with 3D printing, and it's not a bad idea for all of us to understand the intellectual property laws that are in effect when we are copying or reproducing or, as they say, replicating in the additive manufacturing business. Drew Cox has a gentleman on his staff. He's actually, I believe, the CFO of Matter and Form, a 3D scanner company, who happens to be an IP attorney, and he was a keynote at the 3D Printer World Expo, as well as Eric Wolf of Airwolf 3D. He's the president of Airwolf 3D. Guess what his day job is? Well, actually not anymore. His day job was an IP attorney, and it's interesting that they chose this realm to go into, which is probably going to actually end up changing some of the IP laws that are out there. I mean, 3D printing is a whole new world. There are precedents that have been set already as far as keeping something functional, for instance. You can't go out and print a Corvette, but you can go out and print a Corvette fender because you have a broken fender. So to keep it functional, and that's why the J.C. Whitneys of the world are out there and able to scratch off GM on the alternator that they rebuilt and print in J.C. Whitney, because they can actually, you can actually do that. You can create your own thing from a copy as long as you're not creating the entire car. You can make a part of that car, even if it's patented.
So like the Made in Space guys, you know about the printer that goes to space and helps to print replacement parts.
I am very, very familiar with Made in Space. Mike Chen was the very first person that I interviewed in the 3D printer world. I'm on the phone with Mike and Grant every week. In fact, we are just about to have a Made in Space and FutureEngineers.org update.
Oh, great.
That comes at 45 minutes after the hour, so interesting that you asked that. And, they will be able to, in space, recreate parts that they need. And there's a great story that a lot of people heard about, and we'll get you on the phone, believe me, with Mike Chen. I promise you that. There's a great story about the guys there at Made in Space. There was a guy looking for a job, and he ended up showing up at the Made in Space laboratory, and they said, sorry, you know, government grants, we don't have a lot of money, we're not really hiring. He said, well, let me sit down at a computer and let me show you what I can do. And he sat down in front of a CAD machine and just typed away, and he goes, here, print this, file print, and this little cube box printed with a little cone-shaped deal on the top, and handed it to Mr. Chen, and Mike says, what's this? He goes, that's the fix for the oxygen canister that exploded on Apollo 13. And they wow. just said, well, it's what? And they sent it to Marshall in Huntsville, Alabama, and they tested it, and guess what? It worked. And they hired him. So, you know, if they had a 3D printer on Apollo 13, the phone call to Houston, we have a problem, never would have happened.
And now you can count the days until a 3D printer saves a spacecraft. It'll happen within the next, what, at least 5 years. Something's going to happen. A 3D printer is going to be key in the repair.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And the more we can have functional materials, the more percentage of things that might fail on a spaceship could be replaced by a 3D printer.
I am definitely going to have you back on the air with me when I have Mike on the show, and I'm talking about within the next couple of weeks.
Sounds great.
There's been a couple of unfortunate accidents. We had a couple of rockets that didn't make it out of our atmosphere, and it's just a setback, though. It's not. They're going forward. In fact, it's a perfect time for me to talk about Future Engineers and what we're all involved in right now. NASA, SpaceX, Ask Me Foundation, Ender's Game, and a couple others are involved in this. If you have kids out there, I don't care what they're into, send them to futureengineers.org. Do it right now. Send them to futureengineers.org. Sign them up. There's a competition. They do an essay, what they think should be printed in space. The grand prize winner, I believe the 15 to 19-year-old range, is going to win a trip to Huntsville to sit there at Mission Control and watch their item printed in space.
Wow.
There are going to be a couple of prizes. There are prizes of trips to L.A., to SpaceX, and also to Ender's Game, to watch items being 3D printed for rocket building. They're actually building rockets out of 3D printed parts, using 3D printed parts. So who knows, you might be able to meet Elon Musk while you're down there. Well, that would be kind of cool. They're giving away a 3D printer, but send your kids to futureengineers.org, spelled out just like it sounds, futureengineers.org. It's a competition for K through 12, and I believe 18 and 19-year-olds are also involved. And there are different age classes. So the kindergartners and the first and second graders are not competing with the high school kids that are in the robotics team. But if you have a kid in the robotics team, get them on there, because this is where the ideas – and one of the reasons I wanted to become the mayor of 3D Hubs, not only do I think that 3D printing is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life, but I want to get it out there. I want people to understand. I took a trip to China, and I see what's going on over there. I do a little business in the seafood industry over there, and I can see the smoke coming out of the plastic factories. And I know engineers. I know people that work at Boeing, and I know that they're, yes, Boeing has a string of 3D printers now, and a lot of that prototyping is being done on 3D printers now. But what's happening is that we need to educate our kids. We need to let them know that there's something out there. It was very interesting that I was interviewing at that Salmon Days, the president of Bellevue College. His wife works at a high school for kids who are having problems in the regular public school system, and she can't figure out something that will grab their attention. And as soon as she started talking about 3D printing, Tom,
yep,
blew their hair back.
It blew their hair back. That's right. You got to get on the program. It's an educational program to really get kids to focus on something different. And
yes.
This is an absolutely great place to do it.
There's great programs out there. There's SolidWorks. We've got Suleiman. He's our tech. I know, Brandon, you had breakfast with Sol this morning. We had Sol on the air with us. He's a SolidWorks expert. We've got guys that will help you learn that stuff. Sounds like he might be getting on his plane.
Brandon's getting on the plane or something.
Sounds like he's 3D printing a plane, actually.
But, there's that. But there's also some free programs out there. You can go out there and get a copy of SketchUp right now. I think Google owned that for a little while. I think they gave up their rights to that. Somebody might have bought that from them. But there is a professional version, but there's a free version of SketchUp. You can go out there and you can actually create on your computer right now, and that's what the kids need to be doing. I have a 7-year-old right now. He sat there and helped me design for him part of his Halloween costume, his Minecraft diamond sword, and his iron chest plate, and his bow and arrow, his diamond bow and arrow, all these Minecraft little items, and we just kind of manipulated a little Thingiverse 3D objects. But it was something that he was actually interested in. And it used to be, oh, I got to go to the store with you today, Dad. I really wanted to stay home and play Minecraft. Now it's like, I'm ready to go to the store with you. Can we 3D print something today? And he's 7.
Did you get pictures of that? I'd love to see those.
Oh, I absolutely, yeah. They're on my phone, and I'll show them to you before we go. Yeah, it's really
Greg,
cool
was the kid's costume behind him, was he dressed up as an IP attorney?
Actually, the IP attorney was in line right behind him, making sure that we did it right. No, he actually didn't use that as his Halloween costume. He wanted to go as a scary guy for Halloween, but he did make the mistake of bringing one of his diamond swords to school. Actually, I saw him put it in his backpack, and the teacher saw it and said, "That's really cool." He said, "My dad 3D printed this diamond sword, and you know there is a no
weapons
tolerance, at all about bringing weapons to school," but the teacher was okay with it. It was a 3D printed, harmless little 3D printed sword. What I didn't know was that he had two 3D printed diamond swords in his backpack, and at recess, he decided to have a sword fight, and we got a call from the principal's office.
Aren't those fun?
Yeah,
I love those.
I got to go down to meet Mrs. Klein, and I got yelled at, and I said it was my fault, and anyway,
pulled out your 3D printed sword.
No, actually, I didn't pull out any weapons. I was totally apologetic, and he is not bringing any more 3D printed swords. However, I do want to work closely with the schools here, the Lake Washington School District, Issaquah School District, Snoqualmie Valley School District. I want to talk to the people in Seattle. I want to make sure that all the kids are informed about 3D printing. I want them to talk to Michael. Michael, I want to have you at my next 3D Hubs event, which is going to be within the next 6 weeks or so. We are going to be introducing a new Leapfrog printer after the first of the year here in the U.S. that you're really going to be interested in. Brandon, I hope that you can make that event as well. Is Brandon still on the air with us?
He's probably on mute.
Oh, I think we might have lost Brandon. That's okay.
Get 3D printing parts on the plane.
Yeah, just be careful what you 3D print on that plane. But we're gonna have a lot of fun. I think we're gonna talk to Brandon. We'll let him listen to the show a little bit later. I'm glad that he was here with us. We'll have a lot of dialogue with Brandon. He is Mr. 3D Printer. He had the attention of about 40 at the event I had last Tuesday night. And Tom will attest to the size of my little store. It's tiny, and 40 people stood there in 80-degree temperatures, and nobody moved.
Intimate.
He was he's a great speaker. He's very, very knowledgeable. He is Mr. Leapfrog, and it was a lot of fun. We're going to take one final short break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Alan a little bit about Windows 10 when we come back. You're listening to the High Tech Radio Network. It's Tech Talk with Craig right here on AM 1150 KKNW.
Coho Computer is a full-service computer and communications center. Conveniently located in downtown Issaquah on Front Street, we offer fast, high-quality turnaround computer service for all PC, Mac, and Android devices. Coho Computer also offers complete consultation and implementation of network services for the home and small and mid-sized businesses, as well as enterprise solutions. No job is too big or too small, so contact us today at 425-654-1239 or visit us online at cohocomputer.com. That's Coho Computer Sales and Service, a proud sponsor of Tech Talk with Craig.
Are you suffering from SCS or slow computer syndrome? Well, tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 for Tech Talk with Craig. I'm Craig Walker, lead technician and owner of Coho Computer. We'll take your calls, answer your questions, keep you up to date with the latest in high-tech news, and feature special guests. Tech Talk with Craig, Saturdays noon to 1, right here on Alternative Talk 1150. I love my
computer. Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the show. It's the High Tech Radio Network. You're listening to Tech Talk with Craig. I'm Craig Walker, your host. I'm sitting here with Michael Tatonghi. I'm sitting here with Tom Gattuso, Harmony on the board. Harmony, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Your first time on Tech Talk with Craig.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Hey, man, I'm happy.
Extra good job, because I feel like you guys know stuff. So most people don't know
Harmony,
what's going
okay.
on back
it's
here.
It's our first time, too.
Okay, all right.
It's all cool. Hey, listen, I want to talk. I got to get my public service announcement in. I meant to do this at the top of the hour, but don't forget, this coming Thursday, November 20th, in Gilman Village, it's the Gilman Village Wine Walk. It's our last event of the year for Downtown Issaquah Association. Tom will attest to you for me about the Downtown Issaquah Association. If those of you that don't remember, Tom is the one of the originators of, or the originator of, Zombie Walk.
Zombie Walk. I helped put Wine Walk together as
yes,
well, too.
Yes, you did. A fellow past board member of the Downtown Issaquah Association. I am a board member now with the Downtown Issaquah Association. And our event, Wine Walk in Gilman Village, takes place this coming Thursday, November 20th. Please come down, listen to some live music. There's going to be snacks, plenty of local boutique wines and tasting locations all over the village. You can pair a good wine with a good book. Why? Because the authors of some of these books are going to be there to talk to you about their books and sign them and have a little sip of wine with you. Please come early and beat the rush. If you came to any of my Wine Walk events that took place...
Packed
isn't the word. They actually wrapped around the store and out into the parking lot. And I'm on the south side of Sunset, where they said it would never happen. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little later. But come early. You can start on your holiday shopping. It's before Black Friday, but there will be specials going on throughout Gilman Village. There will be specials in all the restaurants. It's a beautiful place, Gilman Village, right in Issaquah. Off Gilman Avenue. It's Thursday, November 20th. You do have to be 21. For more information, just go to downtownissaquah.com, downtownissaquah.com. And while we're talking about web addresses, I want you to go out there and I want you to Google Michael Tatonghi. And I want you to put this in the Google search bar, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Tatonghi. It's T, like Tom, O-U-T, O-N-G-H-I. G for George, H for Henry, and I for ice cream. Michael Tutonghi. Again, Toutonghi. The reason I want you to Google him is because when you do Google him, the first five things that are going to come up are going to be his LinkedIn, his Facebook, his news stories, because there's plenty of them about you. This isn't a little thing that you've come across and all of a sudden decide to do in this little minor Kickstarter campaign that might take off. This is already, I have a working flashlight in my hand, folks. I want you to go about five or six links down, check out his Kickstarter campaign. You can donate as little as a buck, I think.
Yeah, that's a dollar for being on the Wall of Fame as a supporter for this.
And I'll tell you, you're donating to science. And
well, a real product. I mean, let's get this guy halfway to his goal here, maybe tonight, tomorrow, within the next 3 or 4 days.
I have a feeling you're going to have a few hits.
Thank you.
I really do. We are on at a different time right now, but I think I pick up a few listeners because we are after football. It's 5 o'clock. People are in the car. I've also told, I must have told at least 3 or 4 people that we were going to be on the air today.
Well, you tell and you send out a message to 3D Hub, and no, they'll course. Send it out and through Brandon and everything.
I believe that we have a pretty good listening audience today. I'm hoping that you get some hits, if not at least some comments. It's great. Hey, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, and I want to talk a little bit about Windows 10. Alan, I know you've got a copy. Tell us your thoughts. What's going on over there?
Well, so, you know, I'm never afraid to install something that, you know, it just by chance of making sure that my primary machine will go down. But I will say the move from Windows 8.1 to Windows 10 on my Surface 3 tablet has been very smooth. It is funny to watch kind of the whiplash effect of what's in and what's out. So even on a tablet that has all of the best touch stuff available, suddenly the touch GUI is gone. The apps are there, but you're accessing them a different way. The charms are gone. All the functions of going to the corners and pulling stuff down are gone. So in that respect, they've brought back the Windows 7 side of things. But it's kind of funny because there were aspects of that touch side that I liked. I wanted them to keep that. I just wanted them to bring back the start menu, which they have. You know, it's not quite like the Windows 7 start menu. It is a blend of the touch stuff as well as the Windows 7 stuff. But people, I think, if you've used things like Start 8 and various other things, that you will like how they've brought that back. But that whole tablet side, you know, I could just go to this part and all that, I think that's gone now, which, you know, I thought I kind of liked as an option. So that was a bit of a surprise. But
well, didn't they integrate the Metro tiles into the start menu?
Yeah, the Metro tiles and stuff are still there. It's just that one screen where you could go and it was nothing but Metro tiles. That part they got rid of.
I see. Okay. Got it.
So, you know, I don't know why you have a tiled app without a tiled interface also, but, you know, I just make it an app. But you know, so those are there, and they've been windowed off, and you can go back and do what do everything that they would before. Although I am having trouble getting the PC settings to come up ever since the last update. But the one thing that I do like that they're doing on the technical preview, for those who are geeky enough to want to install it and give it a try, you have a setting that will allow you to select faster updates or slower updates. So if you want to select the slower and make sure that, you know, those updates have been tested a little longer before they're automatically installed, you can do that. If you want the very latest update that comes down the pike, they made this tweak, you want that, it's going to come on, you know, when you go for that faster update. So for those folks that love living on the bleeding edge, love testing out stuff before it's really a commercial product, that is definitely the way to go.
Just don't do it on your production machine.
I'm doing it on my production machine.
You're different. I'm talking about my listening audience.
I have been called different many, many times.
Yeah, I know.
But I have found it extremely stable. I found it extremely good. I Paint-It has gotten rid of some of the things that I actually liked about Windows 8.1. But, you know, I also really like the fact that they've added the virtual desktop functionality. So those are the two big things that you will see in Windows 10, besides being confused why it's not Windows 9. But you will see the return of the real Start menu, and you will see a virtual desktop functionality that is pretty cool.
I'm going to see if I can get somebody to attest to this, because I have somebody who may know the answer. But my opinion on the skipping of the number 9 is that when you start typing out in a Google search, Windows 9, what's going to come up? Windows 98, Windows 95. And I think that they may have skipped that 9 just because of that. And
well, no, I think the reason why they did that is very similar to what you were saying, but a lot of the software that was written for Windows 95, 98, you don't want new software or older software looking for code calls that could actually, on a in the Windows environment, make it think that it's finding software that is current, or looking for that Windows 9 part, whatever it was going to be, wasn't going to cause problems in non-Microsoft developed software.
Hey, I want to thank everybody for listening. Don't forget, coho3d.com is up and running. You've been listening to the High Tech Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning in. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We're going to have Clayton Webster of Simplify 3D on live next week. It's Tech Talk with Craig on the High Tech Radio Network. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. I love my computer. You make me feel all right.